Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Our readings for this Sunday are specifically tailored to talk about the renewal that is in us in Holy Baptism. Our first reading, the Old Testament lesson from the prophet Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, selected verses. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle for this day is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day recorded in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, the words of our Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that brings forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, it's going to be a little bit different this morning. Not what you may be accustomed to necessarily when you worship, but we're going to use visuals, hopefully to highlight the message today and bring it home more meaningfully to you. Before we get to that, all of you should have a copy of this. This is the cover. It says Talk Peace on it. If any of you don't have one in which to look, where are our ushers? We need, raise your hand if you don't have one of these. We need some down in front here, the booklet. They're out. I was afraid of that. Wait, husbands and wives ought to be able to look in on the same book, don't you think? I mean, if they can't, then there's other problems we don't want to get into right now. Okay? Does everybody have one now? By the way, this applies to our youngsters, too. In fact, now, I didn't tell Pastor I was going to say this, but if you had one of those books and wrote your notes right in there, and then when you got home, copied them on the paper you're used to putting them on, I would think you would have a pretty good summary of what the message was this morning, correct? I think so. It would work. Just a brief word to those of you who are visitors today. Don't let this scare you. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're glad to have you worshiping with us. I want to assure you that as a visitor, you're under no obligation whatsoever to make any kind of commitment to our Lord for our congregation and its program. We're simply happy to be sharing with you the challenges and the joy of this day. And now to our presentation on stewardship and holy baptism. Because this thing called stewardship involves our whole relationship with our Lord, we want to begin with a word of prayer. You see that prayer on page 2. Let's pray that together. Dear Father in heaven, teach us that our lives are always in your hands, and we need never fear or worry. You supply all our bodily and spiritual needs. In your love, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to suffer and die for us. He took the punishment for our sins that we deserve. Now we have full and complete forgiveness. We thank you for your gift of love. You tell us that we can come to you in prayer, bringing all our concerns and cares before you, knowing that you hear and answer us. Truly your love is great. Our Lord and God, accept our hearts and lives. Use us to your glory and in the service of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Now let's move on. Our special emphasis today centers in understanding the sacrament of holy baptism, what it is, but more importantly, what it means for the life of a Christian steward as a manager for God, because that's what Christian stewards are. They're managing for God. Now today we're connecting it with baptism. If you were to ask 10 people, what is baptism, you'd probably get at least a dozen different answers. Baptism? Oh, that happened to me in church when I was so small I can't remember a thing about it. Or, oh, it's kind of a magical ritual that whereby somehow you get saved. And still others will talk about immersion or sponsors or being born again or believer's baptism, you name it. There are a lot of answers to this question of what is baptism, but we want to ask it on this Loyalty Sunday simply because we need to know what is the connection between our baptism and stewardship, and how can our baptism help us to become better stewards? Actually, baptism is a very important part of the stewardship life. For us as Lutherans, it's always been of great significance. In fact, as Lutherans, we are often accused of making too much of our baptism. I submit to you, my friends, we don't make enough of it. Of the covenant that God made with us at the time of our baptism, we don't give it the place in our life that we should. Someone has rightly said, no greater jewel can adorn our body or soul than baptism. But what is this thing called baptism? Let's turn to the next page, please. Page 4. What we remember about it will help us some, but we ourselves certainly aren't the most reliable source for answering the question. So what does the Word of God say about it? Well, first of all, the word baptism itself, as used in Scripture, simply means to apply water or to wash. That's it. And in Matthew 28, you know the Great Commission, Jesus sent his disciples out with the words, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So in its simplest terms, baptism is the applying of water plus the Word of God. Exactly how it is applied is completely immaterial, since all the power lies in God's Word. Over the page. What is baptism? Another way to explain it is to say that baptism is a sacrament. That's a church word. And by the way, I hope you're not shocked. You won't find that word in the Bible. Sacrament isn't in there. It is used to describe a certain biblical concept. Now, we do that all the time. We do the same thing with the word Trinity. That describes the Bible teaching of God being three in one, one God, yet three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, baptism, we say, is a sacrament. That is something instituted by God that has visible means, and, of course, in baptism, it is water, connected with the Word of God, whereby God offers us forgiveness of sins. So we say, when we say baptism is a sacrament, we mean that in baptism, God offers and gives something, and we receive something from him. Forgiveness. No wonder Luther calls it a treasure. Let's try to explain that still another way. Turn the page. We call it a means of grace. A channel through which God offers and gives to us the free gift of forgiveness. The Bible tells us how God's Son, Jesus Christ, suffered and died and rose again. That's history. But how does that get down to us today? That, my friends, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he uses certain channels by which this gets done. One of those channels is baptism. Picture it this way, if you could. We may use a hose to get water from the water source so all the benefits of the water can be put to use, like in a garden. In the same way, the Holy Spirit uses certain means, God's Word, holy baptism, Lord's Supper, to share with us the blessings of Christ's redeeming work. And so baptism is precious because God there gives us what we need spiritually, forgiveness and eternal life. But now what does that mean for us Christians who try to be good stewards of everything that God has given to us? Look at the next page, page 7. According to God's word, holy baptism gives us six very important things. And we'll look at two of them just on this page here. First, in baptism, God made us children and members of his family. There he reached out to us to claim us as his own. The bad news is sin had separated us from God. And all of us have sinned, so we all deserve its punishment, eternal death. But the good news is baptism puts us back into a relationship by making us members of God's kingdom. There he literally adopted us as his children. Secondly, baptism gives us forgiveness. By baptism, sin is washed away. When Paul was addressing his own people in the city of Jerusalem, he called on them to do this. Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So in baptism, God puts his name on us, claims us as his own. We belong to him. All that we have, all that we are, it's his. Now that's very important for laying the foundation for stewardship. Remember that as we confessed in that revised creed a few moments ago, God still owns everything, including me. I am His by His grace. Please turn the page. Thirdly, our baptism gives us salvation. In his first letter, Peter says this, "Baptism now saves you." Well, that's pretty clear. Because of that truth, Luther says in his large catechism, "Baptism rescues us from the jaws of the devil and gives us victory over death and the devil." And along with that, baptism gives us new life. Remember that time when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? He was a leader of the Jews, a religious leader, but he didn't want to be seen. And Jesus told him, he wanted to know what it would take to get into Jesus' kingdom, and Jesus told him that he had to be born anew from above by water and the Spirit. He was referring to holy baptism. In baptism, we put off the old dirty rags of our sinful self and we put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. So not only do we belong to God, baptism makes us stewards and gives us the ability to respond properly to God's love and God's ownership of everything. Turn ahead, page 9. Our baptism also gives us the Holy Spirit and His gifts. You see, it often escapes us that as Christians, we have many responsibilities in representing our gracious God. Now keep in mind, we are here on this earth to represent God Himself. Now there's a responsibility for you. But God Himself helps us in carrying out those responsibilities because He gives us His Holy Spirit with all the power, all His guidance, all His gifts. And finally, a daily thing, our baptism gives us the power and the strength to live our lives each day to Jesus Christ as stewards for God. So when we think of baptism, it has to be more than, oh, yeah, I was baptized way back when. Well, we know that. And I said, if there's anybody here that hasn't been baptized, talk to me after the service. The whole point is, even though it's something that may have happened many, many years ago, it still has some lasting significance for you and for me today. Baptism, you see, enables us to become what we are, to become what God has made us in that gracious washing. Over the page, please. Page 10. What a fantastic package deal God has made with every one of us in baptism. It's really almost beyond our ability to understand what it all involves. God's love is really extravagant. In His mercy, this is what He does. He withholds from us what we deserve because of our sins. And in His love, He bestows upon us what we don't deserve. His forgiveness and the free gift of eternal life. And so for the Christian, baptism is where his stewardship life begins. And my dear friends, it begins not with us, it begins with God. Turn ahead. Page 11. That means more than anything else that Jesus Christ is in control in our lives and that what He says is what we really want for our lives too. You see, in baptism, it's kind of like going to your own funeral. You die to your sinful self and you rise again to a new life in Jesus Christ. And your baptism gives you the power to act according to God's will. That's what a life of stewardship is all about when Jesus Christ is Lord. In baptism, God makes a covenant with us. And there he promises to do us good, not evil. Turn ahead to page 12, please. Much like the covenant that our Lord made with Abraham back in the Old Testament, we can add absolutely nothing to it. Just like Abraham, we simply happen to be there, that's all. It is all God's doing, and it's because God wanted us for his kingdom. So we can take no credit for that at all. That covenant is one of the great treasures we have as Christians. We belong to him, kept by his Spirit. We enjoy forgiveness, drawing on him for all of our needs. And his love and mercy are always available. Let me say that again. They are always available. Always. For in holy baptism, God accepts us just as we are and then helps us to become the kind of people he wants us to be and has a right to expect us to be. Over the page. Finally, in baptism, each Christian is given a program for his or her own life. Because we are baptized, we are God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God. And God makes us that way so that we would declare the wonderful praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, that's the heart and center of all stewardship. Baptize people using that life and life's resources to declare God's praises. That's what it's all about. Now we live for him. No, it's not easy, but he gives us the power to do it. And by the way, that should show in our lives, in our use of time, in our priorities, our decisions, our use of time and talents too. See, the blessings and benefits of baptism that God gives to us there are many. Look at page 14. In response to all that God has done for him, the psalmist asks a question. He says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me?" And that's a really good question for us to ask today, too, as God's people. Now to page 15. Now, if there's so much that God has given us, how do we begin to respond? Well, I think Paul really had a handle on this thing when he said, "Look, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now note, in the Old Testament, whenever people brought sacrifices, they were killed. And even the sacrifice of God's only Son was killed for our sin. But Paul says here that ours is to be a living sacrifice. We are to offer ourselves up to God. In other words, let's get down to nitty-gritty. It's not just money at all. It has to do with our entire life. All that we are, all that we have, belongs to God. He made us managers of whatever gifts and talents he's given to us to use for the benefit of his kingdom while we're here on earth. What a privilege. What a responsibility. And because of this love for God, the Christian steward will reply and he'll return to God time and talent, testimony and treasure. That's how we offer our lives as a living sacrifice. And why shouldn't we? In baptism, God shows his great love for you and for me. And God expects us to return that love to him, to his church, and also to our fellow man. Now the last page. And I'll bet you thought we were never going to get there. Baptism is what makes us stewards. In baptism, we are born into stewardship. As baptized stewards, we love our Lord and his church, and therefore we respond to that whole list of responsibilities and privileges that are ours as children of God. How we respond is how we manage God's many gifts to us. My dear friends, let this be a time in our lives, a time of rededication of our faith and love to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let this be a time of baptismal renewal, of really taking stock of what it means that God made a covenant with us at the time of our baptism. And as you experience this renewal in your own heart, remember always what it means when we say, "Hey, I'm baptized." Finally, let us close as we began with a word of prayer. Let's pray together that prayer on page 16 of our booklet. We join together. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank and praise you that you've made us your children in baptism. And as your children, you provide for our every need, especially the need of forgiveness of sins. Empowered by your grace, help us to live lives of thanksgiving by giving glory to your name as we commit our time, talents, treasure, and testimony to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.